Almighty. We honor the Lord. We just thank Him for all that He's done. Amen. If He doesn't do anything else, thank God He's done enough already. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to continue our series on Stop Not Trying to Force
the Hand of God.
Amen. Can we say stop?
Stop.
Trying.
To force
the hand of God.
The hand of God.
Amen. Once again, we said forcing the hand of God, one of the definitions that we use for forcing the hand of God is trying to usurp our will above His will, or to try and circumvent whatever God has purposed. If you read about it in Ephesians chapter 1, the whole first chapter of Ephesians talks about God's purpose and God's will for us. He repeats it over and over again, that message in Ephesians chapter 1, God's purpose and God's will for us. And one of the things that Paul writes to the church of Ephesus and tells them is that we ought to be to the praise of His glory. Amen. The reason God created all of us, ultimately, He created all mankind to be to the praise of His glory. The scripture said, for those who trusted in Him. And He goes on to say, in whom we also trusted, after we heard the truth of the gospel, and it's a gospel. Aren't you so glad you sealed? Paul writes to Timothy, say, having ears, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from
iniquity,
ungodliness, or lawlessness. Depart from iniquity. But he said, God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I like this part of the verse. After God seals us, it turns around and he says, which is the earnest of the inheritance. Amen. In other words, God gives us the Holy Ghost as a down payment. Amen. To let us know I'm coming back to get you. Amen. Jesus said, come back and receive you unto myself. So we have the earnest of the inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, that we should be unto the praise of His glory. Amen. God created us not to praise ourselves. Sometimes we get a little confused in church. And we think we're supposed to glory in His presence. So ultimately, our main, and to be to the praise of His glory, we must fit into His will and His purpose, and not to try and usurp our will over His. As we want to ask you to stand as we continue part two of not trying His purpose for all of us. Amen. God has a will. God has a purpose for every last one of us. Amen. I don't care how feeble you seem or feel to be, or how insignificant you think you may be, God has a purpose for you. Mm-hmm. Amen. And our goal, our desire should be to fit in His purpose. Isaiah 45, starting with verse 5. Verses 5 through 12. Amen. We went over this last week, but we really didn't get a chance to get into it because of the time. Amen. So it's, I am the Lord, and there is
none else.
I am the Lord, and there is
none else.
There is no God beside me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is
none.
God's trying to get a message across. He says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created. You see what God is saying? Amen. Everything in life God has created. Light and darkness. Good and evil. Amen. Righteousness and unrighteousness. The earth, the heavens. He said, I've got it all. And besides me, thank you, there is no other. Woe to him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy hand hath? he had no hand, sorry. Woe to him that said unto his father, what begettest thou? Unto the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their harvest I have commanded. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, if it had not been for you on our side, Lord, in spite of whatever position or condition we're in tonight, Lord, if it had not been for you, our situation could be that much worse. So for that, we said thank you.
Thank you.
Lord, we honor you. Lord, we glorify you. Lord, we thank you for thy word declares that everything that has breath, let it praise the Lord. So tonight, we praise you. And Lord, we ask you to speak tonight. Lord, it's not in man that walketh to direct his step. Lord, but indeed, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Lord, as we surrender all to you tonight, Lord, we said, Lord, so direct our steps. Lord, speak to every needs of thy people on this evening. Oh, God, whatever it takes, Lord, direct us. Lord, show us the way to have us to go. For indeed, the steps of a good man, Lord, we know proceeded from thee. Now, Lord, honor our steps. Lord, speak to us. But then give us an ear to hear what the Spirit will say unto the church. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. And truly tonight, we thank God. Amen. One, the utmost challenge for us is to know the mind of God. Amen. The scripture asks, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has ordered, who has instructed God? Amen. Before we go to this, let's go to Romans chapter 11 quickly. Romans chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 30, start with verse 33, and then we'll come back to this. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has instructed him? Amen. Romans 11, verse 33. In not trying to force God's hand, we must know what is the mind of the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I know it's a little chilly outside, but thank God it's not cold on the inside.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Verse 33, when it comes to us knowing God's mind, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of
God.
God has a way, the son said, God got a way so high you can't go over it. Mm-hmm. God has a way so low that you can't go under it. So when we're dealing with God, it says, oh, the depth both of the riches of the wisdom and the what?
Knowledge
of God. How unsearchable are his? We cannot figure God out. Amen. I learned years ago, I can't figure God out. God does things past finding out. Amen. We cannot figure God out. So the only thing we can do, since we can't figure God out, is God ask God to take our hands and lead us. Amen. To direct us in the way that he have us to go. Verse 34. For who hath known the mind
of the Lord?
Amen. Lord, we seek to know your mind. Every day, we need to know the mind of God. Amen. Our minds don't mean much. Amen. What's important, our minds are important as long as our minds are in tune with the mind of God. So he says, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has told God what to do? Who has ordered God's steps? Amen. I like what God told Job. He said, Job, where were you when I put the stars in the sky? Where were you when I put the moon and the sun in place? He said, Job, where were you when I called down the hoary frost from heaven? Where were you when I opened up the deeps? Job said, Lord, things too wonderful for me. No, not. In other words, Job said, I don't understand you, God. Amen. The book of Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 9, talks about the wisdom of God. And it talks about how God creates the clouds and the rain and the dew of heaven. And then the Psalms goes on to say, Proverbs goes on to say, God just cannot figure you out. Mm-hmm. Amen. That just think God has done the greatest things, but then we think God can't handle our little situations. So since we don't think God can handle our little situation, we try to be God's counselor. You know what a counselor does? He tries to tell someone, a guide, instruct them in the way to go. Tonight, Lord, I just want to be in your will. I surrender all. Lord, I don't want to fight. Lord, I don't want to fight against you. Amen. I want to surrender all. So I said, who has been his counsel, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again. You know what that means? We did not pay God first and then expect God owes us something. But when we try to force God's hand, we take the position, God, now I did for you. Now what are you going to do for me? Amen. Lord, I've done for you. Why haven't you done this? In other words, we're trying to manipulate God or try to make God fit into what we think God should be. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, we can't understand his ways. We can't understand his judgment. His ways are, you can't figure God out. Amen. So if we can't figure God out, the best mindset is to do is to just fit right in his will. Amen. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 45, and I'm not going to read all of this, but let's go to verse 4. We start off with verse 9. Amen.
Yes, sir.
To try to force the hand of God means that we're actually battling God. Amen. We don't, inadvertently, we don't think we are. But when we refuse to surrender our will to God, we are fighting against God. We are trying to counsel God. And then we say, God, look what I've done for you and what have you done for me? When if it had not been for the Lord tonight, sisters and brothers, none of us would be here. I don't care what position you have. I don't care what house you live in, what car you drive, what job you have. If it had not been for God,
yes.
Amen, all you have to do is watch the news and watch all the catastrophes, things that happen unexpectedly. Amen. If it had not been for God, however bad your situation is, it could be that much worse.
Amen.
So we need to learn to praise God. Verse 9 reads, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. What does this mean? It means they're fighting against God. When we refuse to surrender, we are fighting God. When we refuse to accept God's will in our lives, we are fighting God. And in fighting God, we are trying to force the hand of God. You know, years ago, you know, you ever see that wrestling? I know it ain't too real in real life. Baby, so I don't want to bust anybody's bubble, so it's real in a fake way. All right. But you ever see it when they twist their arms behind their back and they jumping up and trying to get them to surrender? Come on, man, you got to be real. You know somebody twisting your back and they weigh 500 pounds and jump on you and slam you on the ground. Come on, man, be real. But just, that's facetious, but in essence, that's what we try to do with God. We take God's arm and twist it behind his back and say, now God, you're going to do what I want you to do. That's trying to force the hand of God. That is fighting against God. Why? Because we don't understand the direction that God is leading us. We don't understand why God has certain things in place. So because we don't understand it, we start fighting. Amen. I don't want nobody to tell me, I already know it. No, let God speak. Amen. Let God direct your path. Stop trying to force the hand of God. He said, woe to him that strive with his maker. Let the potsherds strive, the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou? Or thy hand hath, or thy work has no hands. God, what are you, why is my life like this? Why are things different? Why did you permit this? Why are you allowing this to happen? That's fighting against God. Amen. Most of the things that are happening in our life is as a result of us doing what we want to do. As a result of us not surrendering. Amen. As a result of us trying to make God fit. You know how crazy it is. The Bible said the heaven of the heavens cannot contain God. Guess what? We can't even fill up this little space where we're at. But the tool that the devil uses to hinder our walk is he makes us fight God. Amen. How do you fight God? By refusing to submit. By refusing to surrender. Amen. To hear the word, to hear the truth, and say, I know the truth, but I'm going to do it my own way. Amen. I'm not going to surrender. And can you go to Jeremiah chapter 18 right quick? Jeremiah chapter 18. Let me find the verse. We'll come back to this. Let me just read this real fast in Jeremiah chapter 18. This is us trying to force God's hand and make God do what we want him to do. Amen. I don't want to fight God. Lord, I just want to surrender my will to your will. Go to verse 11. Actually, go to verse 9. Let's start with verse 9. We'll read this quickly. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 9. It says, "And what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice." What makes it evil? It does what?
Obey not.
Obey not my voice. He said, then I repent of the
good.
God has good intended for all of us. But we reap what we sow. So he said, when I determine to do good, if you do not obey my voice, then I have to repent or I cannot give you what I planned for you. Wherewith I said, I would benefit them. Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have framed evil against you and devised a device against you, returning an error from his evil way. Is anything that we do in opposition to God. Amen. You know, if I know God's will and I choose to do opposite, the Bible said to him that what?
No
one. You don't have to guess what's good or what's right. The Bible said to him that knoweth to do
good,
and to him that doeth that, it is evil. Sin is evil. If you know the truth, if you know God's word, and you don't do it, it is evil. So he said, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. And the only reason I'm doing this is because I want you to what? Return ye now, everyone, from your own way, is what it really means. Stop fighting against me. God said, when you purpose to do something contrary to me, that is evil. That is wrong. And make your ways and your doings. Make your ways and your doings. Well, making your ways and your doings good means you have to turn from doing what you want to do. You have to stop fighting God. Amen. Even though I don't like it, God says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not in the sin. So you have to return from what you've been doing. If it's not good and if it's not right, make your ways good. Make your doings good. What is your life all about? Is it about trying to please self? Or is it about trying to please God? Amen. Return. If it's wrong, brothers and sisters, let's turn. Amen. Return means we need to repent. Repentance is I'm doing or going in the wrong direction. By me trying to force the hand of God, I'm fighting God. I'm trying to make God accept me, and I know I'm wrong. So what do I have to do? Make your way and your words good. Go back to the next verse, sorry. And they said, not in church. Amen?
Amen.
Not in church.
Amen.
Not in church do we have a give up and a loser's mentality. They said there is, you know, they said, well, what's the use whether I do good or what? Amen. Well, why do you have a defeatist attitude? Because you're trying to force God's hand. You're trying to make God do what God doesn't want to do. Amen. So since God won't do what you want him to do, you say, well, what's the use? Why do I want to do the right thing? Why do I want to say the right thing? Why should I live holy? Why should I live godly? Because there is
no hope.
Amen. That's forcing God's hand. Well, what are some of the signs of having no hope? Say, but we will walk. That's a sign of no hope. You refuse to surrender to God. You're determined to do your own thing. He said, we will walk after our own. In other words, whatever plans you have, I don't know what God says, but there ain't no hope in me to yield to God. So I'm going to do what I want to do. Amen. And then I face the consequences. And then when things get so bad, amen, when God gives you sign after sign and things are going the wrong direction, then all of a sudden we say, God, have mercy. But we've been so filled with our own ways. We're filled with the fruit of our own doings. We're so set in us, it's hard now to surrender to God. So God says, and we will, everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. The next verse. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, as ye now of all the heathen, who has heard such things? He said, okay, go to the unsaved. Go to those who don't believe God and ask, who's heard of such a thing? That they know they're going wrong. They know they're doing the wrong thing, but they're going to do it even amongst the unsaved. Amen. That's trying to force God's hand. You know it's wrong. God has been dealing with you about it. Now, let me explain something to you. When you're wrong, nobody has to tell you. If you got the Holy Ghost, you know why? The spirit of conviction is in you. And that spirit of conviction works on your conscience, works on your heart, works on your mind. You know you're wrong, and they don't have to tell you. But when you're filled with your own devices, when we're sinning always, it's hard to surrender to God. Amen. Because we'll read about it a little later when we go back to Isaiah. Some of us have evidently made ourselves an idol. You know what? What is an idol? The simplest definition of idol is what? Anything that we put before God. Anything we put before God is a what? Idol. Amen. Some of us have made ourselves idols because we put ourselves before God. We refuse to surrender to God. He said, who has had such a thing? The virgins of Israel has done a very
horrible thing.
A very
horrible,
horrible thing. Amen. Let me see. I don't want to take up too much time here. What verse is that?
13.
We'll stop there. The daughters of Israel, the virgins of Israel, in other words, in their purity, they have done a very horrible thing. What's made it horrible? They refuse to what? Surrender to God. They are filled with their own devices. They are determined to do their own thing. God convicts their conscience. God tells them that if you continue to do this, this is what I'm going to do. And we say, well, I don't care because there's no hope anyway. That's not how I should be in Christ. That's not how I should be in church. Amen. Then go back to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. I think we're on verse 11, right? Go to verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Homeowner of Israel and his Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my son. You know what he said to him? He said, you want to know the future? You want to know what's going to happen in the future? Amen. And you're not even concerned about your present? Amen. Sometimes this is how the devil messes us up. And what Jesus says, take no thoughts for what? For the future. For sufficient unto the day is the... God doesn't want us focusing on tomorrow. He wants us to take care of where we are right now. What is our spiritual condition today? We always say, well, in 3 months, I'm going to do this. No, God said, what are you doing right now? Take no thought spiritually for tomorrow. Our spiritual responsibility is when? Right now, today. Concerning the works of my hands, he said, are you ordering me, telling me what to do? You ask me about tomorrow, and then you want to tell me what to do and how to work, make it work. That's forcing God's hands. That is not surrendering. Amen. To know and to hear and then say, I'm going to do my own thing. Now go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, let's start with verse 1. Tonight, this is an illustration of someone who was in need, but then they decided they were going to tell God how he should do what they needed him to do. That's forcing God's hand. All of us tonight are in need. Let's not get in a position of telling God what we think, or as Isaiah just said, giving God commands or orders, telling God what to do and how to do it. Verse 1 reads, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Israel. By who? He was a Syrian, but by who did he get deliverance? By who? The Lord. So it says God is involved. Even though it was an ungodly nation, it said God had given them deliverance through Naaman, and he was a leper. Amen? He says he was also a mighty man of the Lord, but he was a but yet God still granted deliverance through him. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he will recover him of his leprosy. That's a testimony. Amen. You go there, God's going to heal you. God's going to help you to recover. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10. This was, back in those days, that was what you call a whole lot of money. Amen. I think the gold was about 150 pounds of gold and like almost 400 or 500 pounds of silver. And we know what the price of gold and silver is today. He sent a great bounty for healing. Amen. Next verse. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? That was a sign of mourning, a sign of a whole lot of trouble when they rent their clothes. Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a... Lord, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know what? When you need help, go to the man of God and get some help. Amen. So the king didn't know what to do. So Elijah said, just send it to me. He'll know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Amen. Naaman said, I'm about to get healed. Amen. He said, I know what God's going to do for me. Next verse. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, when you hear that, you should be flying to the water, right? But all of a sudden, Naaman decides, I'm about to force God's hands. do I want to do what he says to do? That doesn't even make sense in my mind. Amen. The next verse, but Naaman got
angry.
He got mad. Well, who's in need?
He was.
Amen. Who's going for help? Why's he mad? Does that sound like some of us? Situation bad. Need help from God? Get mad. Mad and everything coming. Amen. Thank God we don't have a dog or a cat. They'll be in trouble. Anything walking through the door, he's just mad. Because he didn't do what I thought. I thought God was going to do it differently. Stop forcing God's hand. Let God do what he has to do and be obedient. Naaman got mad and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me. The audacity of the prophet. Hey, why are you saying such and such? You're not going to do it. Just obey God's word. Forget about all the formalities of what you think. God already worked it out. God knows the answer. He knows what you need. But because he didn't do it like you think, you get mad. Because everything didn't happen like we think, we get mad. Amen. He would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover me of the leprosy. See, he had already preconceived in his mind. Now he's going for help, but now I'm going to tell you how to help me. That's what we do to God. We go to God for help, but then we tell God, this is how you have to do it. Trying to do what? Force God's hand. God knows how to fix every situation. God has been around from eternity to eternity. Your situation, he's probably worked on it over a million times. And now we're going to decide, we'll tell God how to fix it just like Naaman. We're in need, but we're going to tell the master how to fix our situation. Amen? He said, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Amen. He got a better way. Why didn't he wash before he went there then? Why did he go to the man of God if he already got the answers? Who has leprosy? A leper was one who was outcast. He couldn't even mix in with other people. Amen. Why does he think someone should come to him when he's the one that's in need, when all he has to do is be obedient? May not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away. He turned and went away. That's a dangerous position to be in. That's dangerous. We're in need. We go to the man of God for help, or to the house of God for help, or whatever is a spiritual counsel, and it didn't do it just like we thought they should do it, so we get mad and leave in a... We've had some people leave like that in a rage. You know why? Because I thought, I figured, this is what my mind said, you know, it's time to just surrender all. It's time to let God do what God is going to do. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing so you could be seen, wouldst thou not have done it? You know, say he could be seen, but that's what he means. If you had to do something so everybody could see you, you would have done it. But because he's asking you to do something and nobody's going to see it but him, you don't want to do it. If he had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst not thou have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, just wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the what?
Saying of the man of God.
See, that's what's so good about God. You can get mad at me going wrong. But didn't he tell them in Jeremiah, if you just turn, if you return and do good and do the right thing, God will heal you and hear? He was mad. He went away in a rage. But somebody was able to reason with him. Amen. If you know somebody's mad, don't let them be mad. Try to reason with them. Amen. Try to get them to surrender. Try to get them to do the right thing. He said, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Even though he got mad with the man of God, even though he in purpose he wasn't going to do it. He left in a rage. Somebody was able to help him come to himself. Amen. We need help from God. Let's come to ourselves. Let's stop trying to force God to do it the way we thought he should do it. Well, Lord, I wanted this job. I thought you would have gave it to me last year. Let God do it in his own time. Amen. I thought I wanted this car and they turned me down and I prayed and fasted. Lord, what's the use? There's no hope. Let God do it his way. Amen. Well, Lord, I thought you were going to turn my situation around yesterday. Let God do it his way. He knows how to fix it. Stop trying to force his hand. Stop giving God orders. We just say simply, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in
Israel.
Amen. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules, birds of the earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto
the
Lord. You know, when God does something for us, we should make a vow to God. Amen. We should say, Lord, you know what? You blessed me in spite of myself. You moved in spite of how I am. Lord, in spite of my ugly, stinking, nasty attitude and get mad,
right,
you blessed me anyway. So since you blessed me in spite of it, Lord, I'm going to make a vow to you. I'm going to do things differently. He said, I will offer no burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. The next verse, in this thing the Lord pardon thy servant. He said that when my master goes into the house of Remnant, who was a false god, to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, because he was the right hand of the king. He said, by myself in the house of Remnant, when I bow down myself in the house of Remnant, the Lord pardon thy servant. He said, Lord, I'm just going through the motions. No, in advance, I don't mean it. Amen. It's just my position. It's just my job. But it's not from my heart. Amen. And the last verse reads here before we go back. And he said unto him, go in peace. Amen. You know what he said? God has heard you, Naaman. He said, now it's time for you to go in peace. Amen. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 45, go to verse 14. We might get mad sometimes, you know. Things don't work out like we may want them to work out, so we get a little upset. But if we just turn from the direction that we're going, God will still do his good pleasure in our lives. If we stop fighting God. Just imagine if Naaman had just got mad, got in a rage, and went back home. He would have never been delivered. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How many of us have missed out on blessings by trying to force God's hands? Doing it our way. Telling God, you know, sometimes we pray, we tell God how he should have done it, what he should have already done. Amen. God does not need us to command or take orders from us. Verse 14 of Isaiah 45 says, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of the Ethiopia and of the Sabians, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over. You know what I say? He said, all these mighty men, they're going to come to you, but they're going to be so bound. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee. When you just make a stand for God, people will know it. People will see it. Amen. These were great and mighty men, but they came just like one that was chained and bound, saying, surely we see that God is in thee. Amen. If they never say anything else about me, I want them to say that God is in me. We should all want someone to see that God is in us. Well, how are they going to see? A tree is known by its, a tree is known by its, what are you producing? What is your life producing? Hey, my wife always tell me, she said, all right, don't you be no ugly fruit. Because if I'm ugly fruit, I'm a hook on a tree. I'm a ugly tree. So, you know what I've learned? I don't want to be ugly fruit.
Right.
Even though they say that's a really good fruit. Y'all, that's actually a fruit called ugly fruit. It's supposed to be outstanding, but not this kind of fruit. We're not talking about that guy. We talk about a tree is known by its. So guess what we're known by? The life that we live. People can see either God in us or God's not of us. Some of the meanest people in the world in church and got God's spirit. How can you be mean with God's spirit? Amen. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Read about it all the way to the end. The fruit of the spirit. It didn't say fruits. What fruits will have all that, all those characteristics? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, brotherly kind. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Not all that ugly stuff. But we want to force God's hand. We're going to say, well, I know I'm saved, but I can do what I want to do. I don't have to be like everybody else. They should be able to see God in you. Amen? I don't care what you say and do. I don't care how you preach. I don't care how melodious your voice is. I don't care what kind of shout you got. I don't care what you look like. They should be able to see God in you. Amen? And if they don't see God in you, woe be unto us. He said, God is in thee, and there is none, yes, there is no God. Verily, thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also
confounded.
You know what it is? That God that hides himself is a God moves in mysterious ways. You don't understand how God is moving. And because you don't understand how God is moving, you know God is there. You know God is in the church. You know God is in the presence. So because you don't understand it, like God is hiding himself, he said, ultimately you shall be ashamed. And you're going to be confounded. Why? You're fighting against God. Amen? Confounding all of them, they shall go to confusion together that are that put themselves before God. The whole issue of salvation and not forcing God's hand is we got to stop putting ourselves before God. The moment we put ourselves before God and say you're confused, you're ashamed, and you just don't know what to do. Life is all a kilter, all a whack, don't know what to do because you are putting yourself before God, idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. When you're in God, you won't be confounded. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. Now God has given you his resume for why you have to trust in him. Amen. Have any of us created the heavens? Not me. Any of us put the stars into place? Not me. Any of you put this moon and the sun in their place? Not me. Amen. Only God. He said, for thus said the Lord that created the heaven. God himself. Guess what? He didn't ask any of our permission. He didn't consult with any of us to figure out how to do the greatest thing, which was create the heaven and earth. Amen. Himself that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. For I am the Lord, and there is what?
None else.
There is none else. What verse is that? 19. He said, I have spoken in secret and in dark places of the earth. I said, not unto thee, unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Seek ye me how?
In vain.
Some of us act like it's a waste of time to go to God. Listen, God is faithful. He might not move when you think he should move. He might not move when you want to move. Be assured of this very thing. It's not vain to serve the Lord. He's going to move in his own time. I, the Lord, speak. God said, I don't do nothing wrong. Whatever you're going through, he said, don't get mad at me and think I'm trying to hurt you. You thought I meant it for evil, God said, well, I meant it for good. Why? Because I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Well, Lord, why are you allowing all this to happen to me? I'm confused, I don't understand, I'm ashamed. That you might know your letter in. God is allowing it to happen. But it's thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. And oh, God's going to fix it in his time. If we stop trying to fight God. Many of us are wrestling against God. Say, I don't do anything, you think it. Well, how do you think it? Because we don't have the peace of God that we should have. Because the peace of God passes all understanding, our confusion, our trouble, no peace. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are God doesn't do wrong. He says, assemble yourselves and come near, draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge. They set up wood of their graven image. They pray unto a God that cannot. They pray unto a God that cannot. We put a whole lot of stuff before God. Amen. Sometimes we put a job. I'm not saying we all have to work. But there are times we put jobs and other things before God. We don't get the help that we need because there's no help in them. Now go to Isaiah chapter 44. I think we'll end here because my time is running out. Ran out. Isaiah 44 verse 7. We'll conclude here in Isaiah 44 verse 7 through 11, then 18, 19, and 21 through 25. 44. And who as I call, as I shall call, and shall declare it, and set it in order
for me.
God said, I don't need nobody to set it in order for me. I'm God. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto themselves. God said, listen, I put everything in order. I know what's coming and I know what's going to happen. Amen. So I'm going to set them in order. Amen. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Ye are my witnesses. We know God. We know the truth of his word. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. God says, I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity. And their delectable are the things they desire the most shall not profit them. And they that are their own witnesses, they see not nor know that they may be. When we don't keep God first, we shall be ashamed. Who has formed a God or a bold graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen they are of men. Let them be gathered together, let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. Go to verse 18. When we don't do God's word, he said, you get all the yourselves rallied, get hundreds with you. He said, you're going to all be ashamed. How?
Together.
They have not known nor they don't even consider my ways. Amen. For he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot
understand.
And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down in the stalk of the tree? In other words, when he said, you take the wood, you use it to cook, you burn it, then you turn around and worship the very same thing you're using. Well, that's what happens in our lives a lot of times. We do this, we do that, and then we wind up worshiping the very thing that we are working with, not in God. Amen? All right, go to verse 21. Going to do 21 through 25, then we go to Jeremiah chapter 2, we'll close there. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, and thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be. God said, I will not forget you. Amen. Let's not fight God. He won't forget us. Next verse. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. All I want you to do is return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, ye low parts of earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh. He is the God. The reason we don't want to fight God, he maketh what?
All things.
All things. That stretcheth forth the heaven.
Alone.
This is what God said. I don't need anybody's help. He's not making all. I stretch forth the heavens alone. That spreadeth forth the earth.
By myself.
By myself. That frustrated the token of. God said, I did all this, and I frustrate the token of those that are not truthful. That those are bringing up a false report and making diviners mad, that those that depend on fortune tellers for help. God said, I turned that fortune teller into nothing. That's why I don't have to call the 1-900 or whatever the name, Gladys, whatever it was. Who's the lady you said? I don't have to call her. Who? I don't know, they got so many of them. They got Leo and somebody O and the other O and the Y and the U and this. I don't need none of them. Because God maketh them mad. They're turning their wise men backwards. He said, when you try to do something, the man by wisdom of this world knoweth not God. And maketh their knowledge foolish. What are they doing? Fighting against God. We're going to close out Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32 will be our last scripture. Jeremiah 2, 32. We want God's help. It's one simple way to do it. It says, can a maid forget her ornaments, a bride, to not fight against God, to not wrestle against God? He said, a maid will not forget her ornament, not a bride, her attire. In other words, when they go out fully equipped. But the indictment against God, he said, yet my people has what? Forgotten me how? Days without
number.
You can't even count how many times God's people have forgotten him. Amen. We do not want to try to force God's hand. How do we force God's hand? By fighting against God. Giving God commands and orders for how we think he should do. And when things don't work like we think they ought to work out, we do like Naaman and get mad. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's not God. Let us stand. Mr. Anthony, let us stand. Tonight, what we want to do more than anything is stop fighting God. Let's surrender to God. Let us say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, give me mind to surrender, and then ultimately, don't let me keep forgetting your days without number. Lord, help me not to trust in my own wisdom and my own ways, but give me a mind to say yes to the Lord, and yes to his will, and yes to his ways as the ministers come forward.